Well, folks, it's Friday. Now, the two major events of the Christian year are Christmas and Easter. The thing is, to get from Christmas to Easter, you have to go through Good Friday. And that doesn't always seem so good. Because it's an observance that most people don't notice as much, and in fact would probably rather not. It's a time of darkness, and one where the Christian must acknowledge that darkness. In the Bible, it's a time that is associated with ending and death. I'm going to read a little bit about that ending. It's from Matthew 27. Jesus has already come into Jerusalem. The Last Supper is past. He has been betrayed, arrested, tried, and is now on the cross. Matthew 27, starting with verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "The man is calling Elijah." One of them ran and took some sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and lifted it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah comes to save him." And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Good Friday is about endings. Make no mistake about it, Jesus, the Messiah, the man, was crucified and died on that cross. None of the theories that try to make it otherwise can hold up. The physical life that he lived among us came to an end. And that kind of finish was not what the disciples or any of Jesus' followers had ever actually thought of, much less were they prepared for it. For them, you see, death was an end. It was finished. It was over. All they had hoped for in Jesus, the Messiah, was done. They had no experience, maybe no idea or even a conception that an ending could also be a beginning. We who look at it that way are doing so from the other side of the cross. But even here on the other side of the cross, there has been controversy. Down through the ages, there have been many who could not see how the Savior of the world could die. How could the Son of God be crucified? To many who have not thought it through, they see only the death. It's crazy. It seems almost unimaginable. It just doesn't make sense. Yes, the cross was an end of sorts, and we as human beings are probably more closely tied or acquainted with endings than we would like to admit. You all know of such things. Who here has not had a relationship end? Maybe had a loved one die? Most of us at one time or another have moved to another location, maybe to another state. And the time that you spent in that one place was, yes, ended. But let's not make light of any of this, because it's tough to get through some of these endings. But see, that's a part of what Good Friday is all about. For though we have endings in our lives, do we then just stop and give up as if nothing more could possibly happen? How do we react to endings? Do we notice them? Do we ignore them? Or do we let them take control of our lives? So let's think about that and briefly take a look at some of the endings of Good Friday. Now, I'm going to give you a little glimpse of the people and the scriptures that refer to them and these endings that we see in Good Friday. First, the soldiers at the cross. First, remember that these soldiers were not bloodthirsty demons with, you know, gore dripping down. This was their job. And this is what they did. It's from John 19, verses 23 and 24. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but let's cast lots to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. So for these men, it wasn't really an ending. It was just a stopping place in the road of life. We run into endings like that sometimes. They didn't understand the impact. But these next two people certainly did. For the first is the thief who was on a cross with Jesus, who was crucified at the same time. It's from Luke 23, verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanging there railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." And it was just that kind of a scornful, unbelieving, desperate attitude. He had no belief. And for this thief, at least, the end was, in fact, the end. That was all there was. But the other crucified thief reacted somewhat differently. Luke 23, verses 40 through 43. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." We don't know what happened there, how that came to be, but for this man, there was the hope of something more. An ending that wasn't. Now, for the chief priests and the rulers, it was a whole different situation. Matthew 27, again, verses 41 through 44. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. The chief priests and the rulers saw an ending that they had hoped for. It got rid of a problem. But then the centurion at the foot of the cross, Matthew 27:54, when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." An ending that truly seems to have hope. The kind of ending we would like if we see. Now, as I stand here, I'm not just talking about endings and reading things from the Bible and had no conception of this. Because 38 years ago, my first wife was killed in a traffic accident. We were in our 20s. We've been married for 7 years. And I, at the time, kind of thought that was the end, the ending of things. And it was an ending, but was it the end of my life? Absolutely not. Yes, today, Good Friday, Jesus died. A brutal and for many a death that was not easily understood. But consider this. Without that death, what could victory over death mean? Without that death, would it be just an intellectual exercise? Or would it be a living reality? Without Good Friday, without that awful time of death, there would be no Easter and never could be. But now, consider that idea of ending and what it might be. Consider Good Friday in the words of Tony Campolo. This is something that actually occurred. So follow along. One Good Friday, Tony Campolo said, there were seven of us preaching back to back. When it was my turn to preach, I rolled into high gear, and I want to tell you, I was good. I got better and better. I was so good that I wanted to take notes on myself. I sat down when I was finished next to my pastor, and he looked at me with a smile. "You did all right," he said. "Pastor, are you going to be able to top that?" I asked him. And the old man smiled at me and said, "Son, you just sit back, because this old man's going to do you in." Campolo continued. He said, "I didn't figure anyone could have done me in that day. I was so good. But that old guy got up, and I have to admit, he did it. He started his sermon real softly by saying, 'It was Friday. It was Friday, and my Jesus was on the tree. It seemed finished, but it was Friday, and Sunday's coming.' He came on louder, and he said, 'It was Friday, and Mary was crying her eyes out. The disciples were running in every direction like sheep without a shepherd, but that was Friday, and Sunday's coming.' People in the congregation were beginning to pick up the message, and the preacher kept going. He picked up the volume still more. 'It's Friday.' The cynics were looking at the end of the world and saying, 'As things have been, so they ever shall be. You can't change anything in this world. You can't change anything.' But those cynics didn't know it was Friday and Sunday's coming. It was Friday. And on Friday, Pilate thought he had washed his hands of a lot of trouble. The Pharisees were strutting around and laughing and poking each other in the ribs. They thought they were back in charge. But they didn't know it was only Friday and Sunday's coming. And the end of his message, that old preacher just yelled at the top of his lungs, 'It's Friday!' And all 500 of us in that church yelled back with one accord, 'And Sunday's coming!' Well, folks, it's Friday. Amen.
I don't know what to say now. That was good. That was good. I will tell you this. I know it's Friday, but there's a lunch downstairs. See, I timed it, didn't I? Yeah. We want to invite you to join us downstairs for a luncheon. And some of you may realize that we don't, some of you may not, we don't have an elevator that's working presently. However, right outside of the front doors, we do have our bus that will take you around and shuttle you around to the back of the church, to the fellowship hall. If you need that service, please join us for that. Also downstairs at 1 o'clock, you'll have an incredible opportunity to walk through something called the Walk in Love. And it's just a prayer experience that is quite the experience. So if you want to take part of that, it is an experience that you will relish and just cherish for a while to give you a great sense of it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. What I would like us to do as we close out our service now and our benediction is I would like us to, it is Good Friday, and it is a day of seeming sadness. We need to understand what it was like and what Jesus suffered on the cross. And many of us have suffered loss in our lives with loved ones, and we know sometimes when we walk away from that graveside service, it's a time of reflection, of memories. I would love for us to leave the sanctuary this morning, this afternoon, silently, in reflection. You're welcome to begin your fellowship right outside at the Connection Center or back in the narthex. But let's just, for a moment, as we close out, bow our heads. Let me paint a picture for you as we pray. Jesus has been taken down off the cross. He's been wrapped as quickly and as carefully as he can by loving hands. And he's been placed in a borrowed tomb. And in your ears, you can just hear the stone scraping on stone. And the people standing outside getting what they thought might be their last glimpse of their Lord. Father, as we leave this place today, we leave reflectively, and somewhat, Lord, sadly. But deep within our hearts, God, we know, and maybe someone outside that tomb knew that there was a spirit that burned just kind of in the middle of our chest. What happens now? He said that he would rise again. Do I walk away from this tomb with hope? Or do I walk away with incredible sadness? That is what we reflect on today, Lord. We leave this place reflectively and sadly, but within us, Lord, we know that stirs that moment of hope, that ray of hope that we will see you again. And as David said, and as that preacher said, we realize it is Friday, but we say within the deepest part of our chest, from the core of our being, that Sunday's coming, and it gives us hope. It gives us incredible insight into what the kingdom of heaven will be like when just on Sunday we enter this sanctuary full of joy because we hear the stone scrape the other way in our mind's eye. So, Father, we pray that we walk out of here carrying your spirit of hope. And we'll see you Sunday. Amen.